bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Joel Dean. We've spoken to Joel a number of times. He's a very accomplished writer. He's a poet, he's a speechwriter, and a bit of a political pundit. We're interested in his perspective on what the US presidential election means for Australia. Good morning, Joel. How are you?
Good, Macca. How are you going?
Pretty good, pretty good. We saw Malcolm Turnbull talking about his how did he describe it? His very enjoyable or very informative phone call with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And what, you know, one of the first things Trump told him was the Trans-Pacific Partnership's off the agenda. So forget about that, Malcolm. But perhaps they discussed, we've got a couple hundred refugees on Manus Island. Would you like those? Yeah, send them over. You know, they can start building some infrastructure for us over here. It's a pretty troubling election, but what does it mean for Australia? In trade terms, it's not a great outcome. The free trade agreement between Australia and the US is pretty important to both countries. What's your take, Joel?
I don't see anything good coming out of this election. It's a question of how bad.
Yeah.
The for what it means for Australia, well, you know, the it's a mistake to think about, you know, this election as, you know, in Democrat, Republicans, right, left terms, it's about power.
Yeah.
So, you know, Trump has got power and he's going to want to, one of the ways that he can unite the American electorate behind him is by taking unilateral global action, international action. So, you know, I would expect that he'll be looking for some quick wins. Outside with people, you know, either with military force or economic action that really, you know, makes Americans think, yes, this guy's our man. You know, he's making America great again. So what does that mean? Well, you know, there's a very real likelihood that we could end up in a trade war. I mean, the difference here for Australia is that, unlike China, unlike America, you know, both of which, those are massive economies which can be, to a large degree, self-sufficient. Australia cannot. And Australia's, you know, a lot of Australia's wealth depends on the exports of commodities, particularly to China. And so, you know, if there is any trade war that heats up, we're in deep doo-doo, to put it politely.
Joel, good morning. It's Tass here. Great to have you on the show again. We've been debating this morning in the studio a question that's come in from one of our listeners, and it has to do with the intelligence of Trump as a man. The question that's been put to us by one of our listeners is he a smart man or not? And we have been debating this. I'm very interested in your thoughts on this subject, given that the exposure that I've certainly had has been very much confined to what I see in the media and what's been presented to me. And, you know, I've already made comments about the values framework that he reflects, which is very different to my personal values framework, and hopefully many Australians. But what's your thought about that? What's your analysis?
Well, this is a man who's, you know, he comes from a wealthy background, a powerful background. You know,
wealthy doesn't mean smart, though, does it?
No. And my point here is that this is someone who's always, he's a bully. He's used to having power and prosecuting it. So, you know, he is very good at the execution, at the use of that blunt instrument. You know, that's where he excels. I think, so far as whether he's intelligent or not, for me, it doesn't matter at this point. I think he's a guy who, from everything I've read about him, he doesn't read. You know, he goes on his gut instinct. And he's extremely, he's incredibly arrogant. And
Joel, I need to interrupt you for a second.
Yes.
The line's not that clear. Are you able to move to maybe another spot in your home or wherever you might be?
Yes, let me just...
I would say, Josh, I think he's certainly street smart and smart in terms of picking a mood and knowing how to communicate a message. He is a big picture man, but he is, from all accounts, an absolute tyrant on detail. And that, you know, he boasts he's never read a book from cover to cover.
He doesn't pay tax.
Yeah, but that's a result of the US tax laws. I mean, he's not alone in that. But that he, and I said earlier, we were speaking to Chris Weinberg, that when watching the footage of him in the Oval Office with Barack Obama, and watching his body language, and I thought, you know, he's thinking, oh my God, what have I done? In a way, I'm going to be sitting at that desk in a couple of months. I'm going to be in charge, and part of him is absolutely energised by that. But he then realises, well, hang on, I'm going to be running an organisation, which he would think is a businessman, of a couple of million employees, but an organisation that cuts across and influences every aspect of American life, and that the level of detail and the level of understanding is there, is probably going to be, it's challenging for anyone. So who he appoints to his cabinet, and when you see some of the names that are coming up, that doesn't make me feel good about the possible outcome. I mean, how could you appoint someone like Chris Christie, who, you know, is Rudy Giuliani, you know, some, you know, Newt Gingrich, Sarah Palin.
Yes.
You've got to wonder about, yeah, he values loyalty, but I mean, you know, these people.
Well, these people are deplorable, I guess, a better word. But the thing here is, I mean, you know, going back to the election a little bit, you know, it is a bad outcome. It's bad for America. It's bad for Australia. The question about how bad, for me, is really of critical importance. If you think back to 1996, there was a midterm election, the Gingrich Revolution. Mm. Remember the Republicans?
The contract with America.
Yeah, they really took control of the Congress, and that was because there was a very low Democrat turnout. And it was really written up as a massive disaster and as a turning point in American political history, but it turned out it wasn't. There was a rally. And 2 years later, the Democrats really surged back and Clinton won another term. So the big question mark for me is how will progressive forces respond in America? They had the vote for the Republican side of the ticket didn't really change, but there was 5 million people, Democrats, who didn't turn up to vote this time. So, you know, that raises a lot of questions about their campaign. About whether whether they campaigned properly, whether they had the right person in as the presidential candidate, all that sort of stuff. But the other point here is how will that base respond? How will they respond over the next 2 years? And I guess the other thing here is coming back to Australia, what Trump will be for me, what it means for Australia is it's going to be a test of our sovereign will. Australia really needs to decide what sort of country it's going to be.
It does.
We really haven't since Whitlam been independent of America. We have merrily marched to war and been their deputy sheriff in the Pacific. And so, Keating made this point this week on 7:30, and I think he's right. There is a real, and also Richard Dean Thaler made the point. If not now, when will Australia become more independent as a sovereign nation, with its policies, its global policies? It's not in our interest to go down the same rabbit hole as Donald Trump. It's not in our interest to get on the wrong side of a trade war with China.
So, Joel, talk to us a little bit about what have been some of the reactions to Trump as president.
That you've heard, that you've observed.
Well, I was in America. I spent a month in America and left a couple of weeks ago. And I used to live there, and so I did spend a lot of time catching up with old friends. This is in San Francisco, Northern California, a Democratic stronghold. And a lot of people, I was more pessimistic than a lot of the people that I was talking to about Clinton's chances. I thought that she was going to find it really hard, but people saying no, it's going to be okay. But the other thing was that I bumped into a couple who were from the Midwest and had a chat with them, and again the picture that they painted about what life was like in the Midwest was radically different. The other thing is that when I went through central California, the valley, which is where a lot of rural workers are, and it seemed a lot more hard scrabble than I remembered from when I used to live there. It was partly about the draft, but yeah, there is an element. The people that I know, and these are Democrats, and my friends are Democrats. I'm a Labor person, obviously, so on that side of the fence, there's disbelief and outrage. And I think that what it speaks of is a divided country. What it speaks of is America, just like Britain with Reaganomics, with Thatcherism.
Yeah.
It's created a divided country with no middle class.
And in a sense, Joel, the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. So in many ways, the class divide is very evident if you look at it in those very strict sort of terms. But there is also the confusing bit in this for me is the shifting in the values. So all of a sudden, it's okay to have a president who behaves in ways which are unacceptable in a modern world. To say things about people's gender or sexuality or race, it's unacceptable to say those things in the modern world.
It's unacceptable to us. It's not unacceptable to the people that voted for him.
Well, they voted for him.
I mean, Joel,
I think that there's a difference here between public and private personas and lives. And what this speaks of for me is that really America's public life is becoming much more like reality TV, which is really coarse, and which is really offensive. And, and Trump is, so you have a reality TV president. He's not a Republican president. He is a reality TV president. He is a crypto-fascist when you look at his behavior. I mean, I would go that far. This is really scary. Really, really scary. What does it mean for Australia? Will we go down the same path? Our democracy is so radically different from America.
So, Joel, to bring you back into Australia, what's your reaction to our government's response so far to the Trump presidency?
I would have preferred that it was much more along the Angela Merkel's, where she welcomed it and sort of said, we look forward to working with an American, government that is, that upholds, democratic values. I think that, there is Australia. There's nothing wrong with with keeping your cards close to your chest. I was watching, our foreign minister, Julie Bishop, and I thought that she, she was really quite circumspect. Fair enough. I mean, I'm no fan of this current government, but fair enough. I mean, what will be more important to me is how this government behaves and how this government reacts, when from January onwards next year, the Trump presidency really starts to show its colours and starts to behave in ways that are really against the global order. Are we going to be, let's put it in the terms of the 1930s, will we be appeasers? Okay, will we be like Chamberlain was, or will Australia be one of those countries that speaks out for that which is right, for justice? And the other thing is that what's happened is because neoliberalism, globalization, has gone all about growth and nothing about equality of growth. Mm. Nothing. There's been the inequality has bred this immense backlash, and the other thing is that piggybacking on that is a misogyny, is a real hate of people who are different in any way, and so all sorts of real sort of night creatures are now crawling out from under rocks and see this as giving them permission to say the most, say and do the most appalling things, and it's going to happen here just as it is happening there because of social media, because of this electronic age. You know, this is contagious.
Joel, I need to let you know that one of our listeners has written to us and said, spot on, Joel's analysis is wonderful. So you've got a fan out there, obviously.
Oh, thank you.
I'd like to just shift the conversation a little bit to the economic environment. So we've seen that the financial markets react in a very interesting way. As his appointment or as the election results were becoming clear, the stock market dropped dramatically. Now it is stronger than it was before the election. Yeah. How do you explain that, and what's your reaction to that?
That's the casino mentality of the global markets.
Casino mentality. I love that.
I think, again, time will tell. You may well see, the stock market surge in the first 6 months of the Trump presidency, but you won't see the economic impact of the Trump presidency until the second half of next year. So once that's actually when we should really start, paying attention, because, the Obama administration's economic policies are going to have a carry-on. They're going to carry over beyond just when Trump takes over, aren't they? Obama inherited an economy that was tanking because of the global financial crisis, and they had to resurrect. So, I pay no heed to that, and that's just the usual sort of, ebb and flow of financial markets.
I've got to be honest here. I made some money. I bought some US dollar futures contracts, and I made some money on the Trump election because I thought he was going to win. So, yeah.
Well, next time Melbourne Cup time comes around, I'm going to back the horse you back.
Joel, thank you very much for your time this morning. It's always great to have you here on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.